A lot of times, women's clothing don't have pockets on them.
Oh, yes.
So I'll just hold it in my hand. Hopefully that'll make it work. Yeah, it's working. Today I wanted to talk to you about something that's very relevant in today's world, and that's being a person of influence.
Yes.
You know, we have all these people that are on YouTube and yes. Snapchat and the different what would you call them?
Social media.
And they spend their time trying to convince you of something. They make money trying to convince people of something.
That's right.
We need to try to convince, not just try, but convince people that time's getting short.
Yes.
It's time to make a decision,
yes.
and the decision for the rest of eternity.
Amen.
Yes.
We have been told by so many in the Bible about this time. You know, my scripture today comes out of Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah was an old-time prophet, and he dealt with things that Jerusalem did not want to hear. Did not the prophets deal with things that the people just didn't want to hear?
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking to the Lord about this, and he said, well, Jeremiah told about it. Daniel told about it. Jesus told about it. And John, the Revelator, told what Jesus said about it in Revelations. Why are we not paying attention? You know, when I was growing up, I would read all this stuff and I'd say, oh, that never happened in my time. You know, I grew up when everybody went to church.
Yes.
I grew up when everybody respected the preachers.
Yes.
I grew up when well, most people, I mean, even the drunks respected the preachers.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
And so when I would hear this, I'd say, no, that's not going to happen. That's not in my time. Right. Now, it may happen in my great-grandchildren's time, but it's not going to happen in my time.
Right.
Look around and wake up.
That's right.
More than what they have talked about is happening today.
Yes.
We've got all kind of people. I was talking to the Lord this morning, and I said, Lord, I don't understand all this stuff that's going on with the children. He said, I told you they would sacrifice their children to their gods.
Come on.
What are they doing now?
Right.
What are they doing? They are taking babies that they can barely talk, and letting them decide what sex they want to be. Now tell me, a three-year-old's going to know whether they want to be a boy or a girl. They don't even know what they are.
Jesus.
We influence what they are,
right.
how they talk,
right.
how they learn.
Yes.
We are the influence, not the child.
That's
but
right.
then we have these parents that said, oh, little Johnny wants to be little Jenny, so we're going to fix little Johnny to be a little Jenny. You're sacrificing your children to the gods out there.
Come on.
You're sacrificing your children to the gods that God said were an abomination to him.
That's right.
Jeremiah said in chapter 8, verse 1, says, at that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, the bones of its princes, and the bones of the priests, the bones of the prophets, the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And I thought, Lord, they're talking about, you know, back then. He said, no, uh-uh. They're bringing out all the Christians that have gone before.
Right.
They are bringing out and calling out our men and women of God that have paved the way for us to be able to be free to practice our religion.
Yes.
To be able to worship God the way that he tells us to worship. They're bringing those out. And what are they doing? Said they'll spread the bones before the sun and the moon, all of the hosts of heaven, which they have loved and which they have served, after which they've walked, which they have sought, which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuge on the face of the earth. He said, they're going to bring out these bones. And I said, Lord, what do you mean by bones? They're not going to dig up our Christians. He said, no. They're going to bring out the works. They're going to bring out the miracles. They're going to bring out the teachings that they left behind. And they're going to try to discredit it. They're going to try to use intellect. They're going to try to use deceit to tell everybody how crazy we are. And so I said, but Lord, what does it mean about the refuse? He said it's going to be like poop on the ground.
Right. Come on.
Billy Graham, Smith Wigglesworth,
yeah.
A lot of the men and women that have already gone, they're going to use them to fertilize the ground. What a shame. And what are we doing about it? Nothing. We are doing nothing. We're afraid to speak. We're afraid to talk. Because if you say anything, then you hate. I can't even disagree with you on anything. And you label me a hater. I can't say I don't believe that. You label me a heretic. You label me a hater. I don't care what you label me.
Amen.
I'm going to tell the truth, and if it bothers you, then you're going to have to deal with it. I told my husband, I'm too old to care what people think anymore. I'm too old to be worried about what people like and what they don't like. If I'm doing what the Bible tells me to do, if I'm doing what God tells me to do, I don't care.
That's right.
I tell my people, you cannot offend me. Offense comes because you take it.
Come on. That's right.
I don't take offense. You have to care in order to be offended. And I don't care. So I sleep well at night. Doesn't bother me at all. It's a shame to say, but sometimes I feel like I want to tell them, and I have been known to do so. But if you want to go to hell, ride on. Do what you want to do. Because I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Verse 4 says, verse 3 says, death will be chosen rather than life by all residue that, of those who remain, of the evil family who remain in all the places where I've driven them, says the Lord of hosts. How many suicides have you been hearing of? You know, there is such a vast amount of suicides among our young people because they've been deceived. They've been told this, that, and the other. And when they find out that they've been told a lie and they're in a way of not being able to reverse it, they just die. They just take their lives. They don't understand that there is life after. Because nobody has told them. It's you live today for today and don't worry about tomorrow. Well, the Bible says don't worry about tomorrow, but it says to live today like the Lord's coming today. Then you don't have to worry about tomorrow.
Amen.
You know, we have seen so many movie stars' children, so many people that are in high positions, their children, take their lives. Well, they got all the money. They got all the fame.
Jesus.
They got all the publicity. They got everybody looking at them. So why would they take their life? Because they have no hope.
That's right.
That's right.
Come on.
They've been taught to believe in money, to believe in fame, to believe in being the pillar of society. They weren't taught to believe in Jesus and what he has for them. Verse 4 says, moreover, shall you say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Why has the church slidden back?
Yeah.
Why has the church stopped doing its work? Why has the church agreed with sin? Why has the church embraced the evil that is out there? And say, well, you know, it's okay. It's okay. You know, God is love. Yeah. I want to slap somebody when they come at me with that. Amen. God is love. Yes, He is love.
Yes.
But God also has a wrathful side to Him.
Yep.
They're not telling anybody that. And it's just kind of irritating me a little bit whenever somebody passes away and you know their life was awful. And they say, oh, we'll see them in heaven one day. I don't know where you're going, but I ain't going to be seeing them. I have a sister, and bless her heart, she lost her husband and her son within 6 weeks of each other.
My God.
And it bothers her so much because of the way that her son
yes.
perished.
Yeah.
He was overdosed. And every now and then she'll come to me and she'll say, Ginger, I need to ask you, and I know what's coming. Do you think little Lonnie went to heaven? I said, Dorothy, I am not God. I don't sit on that throne. I can't say yea or nay. And I won't give her my opinion because I won't hurt her
Amen.
Anymore. I said, all you can do is live for the Lord and trust in Him and you know, find out when we get there. I said, I can't. I'm not God, and I don't want to be. I would make a very bad God. I really would. I love people, but I get tired of them sometimes. I get tired of their foolishness. I get tired of their stupidity. But thank God I'm not God. I'm human. Thank God He knows me and He understands me and He loves me in spite of myself.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
He says, the church holds fast to deceit and they refuse to return. I listened and I heard, but they do not speak aright. This is God saying, I'm listening for the church to talk to me, but they're not talking right. They're saying things that are not of me. They're saying things that are of the deceitful one. And he says, no man repented for his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into battle. He said, they cannot even understand that there's danger out there. They have so confused themselves and accepted the lies that are out there. I mean, denominations saying that sin is okay.
My God, come on.
Denominations saying that the abomination of God is okay. Just come on in and sit down and, you know, pay your tithes, put a butt in a chair, you know, and everything is fine. Those people are going to hell because the person in the pulpit won't stand up and tell the truth.
Jesus, come on.
Right.
The person in the pulpit's going to have their blood on their hands.
Come on. That's right.
So he says they just won't repent. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed time.
Jesus.
And the turtle dove, the swift and the swallow, observe the times of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. He said, even the animals know that I'm coming.
Come on. Yeah.
They know the time that they're supposed to be at certain areas in their flights. You'll watch, we live in Tennessee, so we'll see the geese flying over. And at wintertime, they're flying south because they know they cannot survive the winter when it's cold. So they're heading south. Mankind doesn't have the sense of a duck. We will fly right into an ice storm, knowing that we're not prepared for it.
Jesus. Oh, God.
Verse 9 says, the wise men are ashamed. They ought to be.
Yeah.
They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? I don't care what kind of education you have. I don't care what kind of paperwork you have saying that you're smart. If you're acting like a fool, then you're a fool. If you teach foolish things, then you're a fool. No two things about it. A paper is not going to make you smart. Only God and you following what he says will make you wise in him. I want to go to verse 20. This is the meat of it. It says the harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. What a terrible place to be in. Have we waited too long to harvest God's people? I pray not. I pray not until we hear the trump of the Lord. We still have time to be out there working the fields. We still have time to be out there bringing in the lost. Are we sitting in our churches and looking at the people that are out there that are doing nothing and not encouraging them to get out? They know people we don't know. They're in contact with people that we're not in contact with. But are we satisfied with our people just coming to church, put their little tithes in, saying their hallelujah, and going home?
No, we're not.
Are we satisfied with our people coming to church, paying their little tithes, saying their hallelujahs, and going out and getting a wine to drink or a beer to drink or something to drink because it's so hot and parched? No. We have got to be better than that. We have got to be better than that. We have got to let them know that there's danger ahead. The road is out. The road is out. And you're going over the side of the mountain. Are we afraid to do that? Are we afraid to talk like he tells us to talk? I'm not. Because I don't care. God takes care of me anyway. We don't depend on the people in the seats for what God gives us, because God gives it to us. We have not had to depend on tithes to make the bills, because there were times we didn't have anybody sitting in the seats except our relatives, and they didn't pay tithes. But we made the bills. God always provided. And when we ran out personally of money, we had something that we had to do and didn't have the funds, God always supplied. He never let us hanging out in the wind blowing this way and that. We were teaching faith. We were teaching prosperity. We were teaching God's love. We were teaching the things that we had learned that we had never heard before. Growing up in church, I learned the Bible stories. I learned about Noah and the ark. I learned about Jesus walking on the water. I learned about the friends let the guy down out of the roof and Jesus healed him. And those are good stories. But I needed to learn how to live today. I needed to learn how to build my faith and live by faith. This is Faith Covenant Ministries. I needed to learn how to live in a covenant life. There's no covenant out there anymore. If you make me mad, then you're done. I'm out of here. I don't care about you. If you in our society today, you cannot correct anyone. There is no correction. Everybody knows everything. They become offended. They become angry. They become incensed. How dare you judge me? No, I didn't judge you. I judged the fruit that was supposed to be on your tree that wasn't there. The Bible says you judge them by the fruit that they bear. And if they're not bearing fruit, then you need to let them know they're not bearing fruit.
That's right. Come on now.
So, you know, we need to learn how to live a covenant life.
Yes.
I think back with Jim and Sylvia. Sylvia and I always got along real well.
Yep.
I can't say as much with Jim and William. Lord, we'd go to New York and we'd go to get theater tickets. Jim and William would stand out in the lines, fussing and fighting with each other about how much money they were going to pay on that ticket. It would be so hot you could fry an egg on the sidewalk. Sylvia and I would just go across the street to the McDonald's, go get us a nice cold drink, and sit and watch them.
It was the entertainment.
It was entertainment, absolutely. Most of the time it was better than some of the stuff we saw on Broadway. But when it all came down, Jim and William still respected and loved each other. Yeah. They would shake hands and say, okay, let's go get a cold drink with the girls.
Yeah, always.
There were so many times that it would have been easy to walk away and say, I'm done. Yeah. But we remember a time when we were in need and Jim and Sylvia came to our rescue.
That's right.
Amen.
We remember a time when we needed counsel. We needed to know how to do something. We needed something that we didn't have. Jim and Sylvia were always there.
That's right.
Amen.
They were always there. You don't walk away from stuff like that.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
I don't care how many times you get aggravated. We're family. And families don't always get along, okay? I grew up in a home of four girls. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's bad enough with boys and girls, but four girls? And we were like, boom, 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 you know? They were always, you're looking at my boyfriend. Most of the time, you wouldn't want to look at that boyfriend. I tell you, I had one of my sisters, oh, my Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord. Just remembering some of the boyfriends that she had would give you nightmares. You know, Mom always said the little ugly boys would always make handsome men. So she must have been looking for a really handsome man because she had all the little ugly boys. And we would fuss and fight with each other, but when the time came that they needed defending, we were there.
Amen. Amen.
We were there to defend them. Even if we just had a knockdown drag out 10 minutes before.
Yeah.
Somebody come against one of my sisters and they're gonna find me. And I wouldn't be the only one that they'd find. Because there were four of us.
Amen.
That's the way the family of God ought to be. We can disagree, but we don't have the authority to hate. We don't have the authority to talk about each other. We don't have the authority to think that we're God on the throne. When we see something that should not be going, first thing is not to go squawking to somebody. It's to pray about it.
Amen.
It's to pray for them.
Yeah.
It's to go to them. The Bible says go to your brother or your sister and talk to them about it.
It says that, doesn't it?
It doesn't say go to your brother or sister that's not any of their business and talk to them about it.
Come on.
That's right.
Many, many, many a ministry has been destroyed because one preacher would go talk to another preacher about something the third preacher was doing when he should have been talking to the third preacher and talking to God. Because that other preacher can't do anything about it. He's not God.
That's right. Come on.
He's not God. You aren't either.
That's right.
For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt.
Yeah.
I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me because of the way his church is in America today.
Yes.
He's astonished.
Yes, he is.
He's astonished. Well, you know, he knows everything. He knows what's going to happen. But it doesn't keep him from being astonished at who is doing it.
Yes.
Yes.
It doesn't keep him from being hurt that the ones that he's pulled out of the fire,
right,
that the ones that he's saved over and over and over again,
yeah,
have turned their backs on him. All in the name of being loved. Because, you know, God is love. And you can't help who you love.
Jesus.
Oh. And I'll leave it at that.
That's right. Come on.
It's time that we start showing them that God is love, but he loves you more than you love yourself.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
You,
that's it.
And when you stop being selfish.
That's it.
Come on.
Self-absorbed.
Come on. That's the word.
Self-contained.
Right.
Then you'll find out that the love that the world has is not love at all.
No.
It's not love at all. He's astonished. He says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician here? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? He says, have I not offered my son?
Right.
Has he not come and spent all of his blood for you? Has he not walked an example for you? Has he not taught the will of the Father?
Right.
Why is it then that my daughter is still sick?
Jesus, come on.
Why is it then that my daughter is not where she ought to be?
Mm.
It's because of weak, need preachers.
Yes.
Come on.
We need to rise up.
Right.
We need to be strong. We need to, and I tell my women, you know, a lot of times my women will come to me and they'll tell me, do not come to me for counseling. I am not a good counselor at all. I do not like it. Because a lot of times you have to patty foot around things. And I don't patty foot. And they don't like it. But I'll tell one of my sisters that comes in to talk to me and that she's having a hard time, and I'll say, why are you having a hard time? Are you not a daughter of the Most High God?
Right. Come on.
Do you not know who you are in him?
Right.
If you know who you are in him, then you are a mighty woman of God. You're not a wimpy woman of God. You're a mighty woman of God.
Yes.
And I'll have them repeat that, and they'll start out with a, I'm a mighty woman of God. Say it again.
I'm a mighty woman of God.
Say it like you mean it. I'm a mighty... No, shout it.
Yeah.
Let the devil know who you are.
Yeah.
Let him see who you are. And they'll be shouting, I'm a mighty woman of God.
Yeah.
And every time I see him, I point at him.
Yeah.
And they know, I'm a mighty woman of God. So if you come to my church and some woman is out there screaming she's a mighty woman of God, it's because I've had to talk to her. When they get into their minds and their hearts and their beings that they are mighty men and women of God, then they'll stand up.
That's right.
And be counted for him.
Come on, praise God.
They won't let the devil run over them. They won't let the devil run over their household.
Come on.
They won't let the devil have their children.
Yes.
They are mighty men and women of God.
That's right.
We all are mighty men and women of God.
Yes.
But we have to understand that that's what we are.
Yes.
We have authority that the Bible says. Jesus said, I leave the authority to you.
Right.
Why are you giving it to the devil?
Right.
You have authority.
Yes.
You stand.
Yes.
You fight.
Come on.
Yes.
And when you fight, God fights with you.
Yes.
He sends the angels with you. He makes a way where there is no way.
Right.
When you think your back is up against the wall, he moves the wall.
Yeah. Come on.
Did he not move the Red Sea?
That's right.
Well, what's a wall? Jericho, the walls came tumbling down.
Right.
And all they had to do was walk around it seven times and shout once.
Right. Come on.
Because God moved the wall.
Yes, he did.
And it wasn't just a little wall like we see.
No.
It was a fortress.
Yes.
They could ride chariots on top of that wall.
Come on. Right. That's right.
It was a garrison wall.
Yes.
But all they had to do was walk around and be quiet for a while. Sometimes you need to walk around and be quiet. Just talk to God quietly and walk around. And then when he says, shout.
Yep.
Scream with everything you've got.
Amen.
And you'll see that the obstinate thing that has been standing in front of you is gone. Where'd it go? I don't care where it went. It's just not standing there anymore. Let it go to wherever it's going.
Yeah. Right.
I don't care where it went. All I care is it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Amen.
You gentlemen and ladies are mighty men and women of God.
Yes.
You young folks, you are mighty men and women of God.
Yes.
Don't let the world influence you into being wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. And that's what you are when you follow the world.
Come on.
You're wimpy.
Come on.
You have no guts. You have no brains. You're just a robot following the rest of them. You are mighty men and women of God. You are mighty men and women of God. Stand up and be the mighty men and women of God that he's designed you to be. Amen?
Amen.
It's time for my mighty man of God to come up and share with you. I'm ended. That's it.